forth the word of God. And like the prophets of old, a preacher is called and commissioned by God. Now myself, I was called by God as a Christian, and shortly thereafter, commissioned to be a preacher. He called me, he gifted me, he slowly gave me opportunities. This was confirmed by the various preachers I had back then, some 20 years ago. Although I did serve in a previous church to this, they, an unusual church government, they didn't believe in ordination or licensing. So in a way, I'm ordained as a preacher, like one born out of the season, as it were. But I was commissioned by God, and we find in Scripture, one that is ordained by God is also to be ordained by the local church, recognition of what God has done. But what does it mean to be a prophet? It does not mean the gift of the gab or eloquence. There are far too many men that stand in the pulpit to think that they are called to preach simply because they know how to talk. Sometimes they talk too much. Nor is it eloquence, speaking well. You know, a person can lie with a very eloquent accent. He can tell untruths and heresies and languages. But God is not preaching. As for me, I know I am no orator. I am not eloquent. Some of y'all are probably already wondering, where did he get that strange accent? Well, it's a combination of a childhood speech impediment, living in New Orleans, living in different parts of the country, a little bit of the Scottish brogue thrown in, but it convinces me and it humbles me. I'm no orator. I butcher the English language, and maybe the Lord gave that to me to humble me. But preaching is not eloquence. Some of the best preachers I have ever heard were not eloquent. But boy, were they gifted. They know the Word of God and they can speak it forth, even though they are not eloquent. Some of the most dangerous and deceptive liars I've ever heard were very eloquent men that stood behind pulpits. Know the difference, brethren, between oratory and eloquence and the true preacher of the Word of God. How do you know? By this book, the Holy Bible. So a preacher is a prophet. He's commissioned by God to preach God's Word, not mere human wisdom or cleverness, as Paul says. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, or eloquence, I might add, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. A preacher is commissioned by God and is ordained by the church. 1 Timothy 2:7. For this I was appointed or ordained a preacher and an apostle as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. 2 Timothy 1:11, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. As I said, like the prophets of old, the preacher is called and commanded to preach. He must preach. It's a burden that's always upon his shoulder. The men before us, they know what that's like, whether you're sleeping or awake. It's upon you. You can no more run from that than you can run from your own shadow. It's an internal compulsion. Jeremiah the prophet, he tried to run from it. God said, are you going to run from it? I'm going to make it a fire in your bones and you can't run from it. He says, it's better to speak it out than to keep it within me. Every true commissioned prophet and preacher knows what that's like subjectively. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe to me if I preach not the gospel. God will whip him and God will stir him up. He's got to preach. I remember that this commission came upon me many years ago. When I applied to seminary, they said, well, why do you want to study at seminary? I said, these words, I must preach. And although that was many years ago, that fire is still within me. I must preach. God has commissioned me. Better to speak the words of God and have people oppose me than to hold them in and have power to oppose me. This is part of a preacher as a prophet. As I said, unlike the prophets, though, the true preacher today does not receive direct messages from God. Don't expect me to get direct communiques from heaven or visions or revelations. No, I get it from the Word of God. That's the only true authority of the true preacher and prophet of God today. I exhort you, my brethren, beware of those that say, I've got a word from God, a vision, a dream. Run from them as you would from a deadly rattlesnake. To the law and the testament. This is the preacher's only authority. Hold and speak to this fire. If he does not preach according to this listen to it, but then he is speaking on behalf of God. The preacher is a prophet. Secondly, the preacher is God's ambassador, like Paul. Paul said, we are ambassadors of God. There is a sense in which every Christian is an ambassador, but Paul was speaking primarily of the apostles and also of the preachers. He is God's ambassador, and he is to give God's message. No true preacher can add to or subtract from the message of God. God has placed his hand upon him. He's God's ambassador. And God holds the preacher accountable in a special way that he does not hold every Christian accountable. This is why James says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will incur a stricter judgment. James 3:1. Every preacher knows what that's like. If he said something wrong or said it in the wrong way, his conscience works upon him in a special way. But he is God's man. Often in Scripture, he is denominated the man of God. 2 Kings 23:16, 1 Peter 6:11, 2 Timothy 3:17. He is the man of God. So in that sense, there is a sense in which the preacher is accountable only to God. There is a sense in which the preacher is accountable to his fellow elders, and in another sense to other preachers. But there is another sense in which he is accountable only to God. Be forewarned, brethren, not just of this preacher, but other preachers. They are accountable first and foremost to God. A church may pay the preacher, but they do not own him. And I, for one, will be no man's puppet, no church's puppet. I will be your servant. But God alone holds my strings, because I am his preacher, I am his ambassador. This being the case, the preacher must preach to please God, not men. Galatians 1:10, Paul says, am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be the slave of Christ. So the preacher is a slave. He's an ambassador of God. A preacher will try to persuade his hearers. He'll grieve for them if they don't hear the word of God. Whether they listen or not, there is a sense in which, like Ezekiel was commissioned, well, whether they listen to you or not, you preach it. There is a sense in which the preacher sometimes has to bluntly say, I'm sorry, if you don't like it, this is the way God says it. And if you don't like it, that's too bad for you. It's going to be too bad for me because you're likely to come after me with a stick or a whip, but I'm sorry. If you don't like it, and if I'm faithful to the word of God, you take it up with God. I'm his ambassador. If you don't like the message, you can listen to the preacher, but you have to answer to God. So the preacher is a man of God. By the way, he is a man of God. Preachers are men, not women. God may have gifted women in many other ways, but he has not gifted them to be preachers. He is a man of God, not a woman of God. God has gifted them in other ways. 2 Timothy 2:12. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. But they may teach other women, but not be a preacher in the church at large. And therefore, Scripture explicitly forbids the ordination of women preachers. I guess this is an example of me as a preacher of God saying, this is what God says. If you don't like it, you take it up with God Almighty. He says so in his word. Thirdly, the preacher is a missionary, like Isaiah. One of the preachers read from Isaiah 6, where Isaiah was commissioned. Of course, he said, who am I? I'm a man of dirty mouth. I'm a sinful man. But God said, I'm going to send you, Elijah. You're going to go to them. And they're not even going to believe you most of the time. But he's sent with a mission. The preacher has been given a mission in life, the proclamation of the word of God. His main goal is his life. It's his obsession. The very air he breathes is the thing he lives off of. I might say that sometimes when you say, well, we'll pay the preacher, but a true preacher would pay the church for the privilege of preaching. He's got the privilege. It's his mission, his goal in life. The preacher, in this sense, is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus came, he came with many different goals, to die, to live, to give an example. But one of his parts of his mission was to be a preacher. Perhaps you've heard the saying, God had only one son, and he made him a preacher. In Mark 1:38, the Lord Jesus said to his apostles, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. This is what I have come to Springfield, Illinois for. I will hear your promises, your problems. I will fellowship with you, but my main purpose here is to come to preach the Bible to you. That is my mission as God's preacher. Similarly, a preacher is not ordained merely to preach in one specific church as pastor, but he is ordained to preach elsewhere. And I've already been doing that. In the future, I will preach here and there, but primarily in this place. The preacher is a missionary. Fourthly, the preacher is a herald like John the Baptist. He has an announcement to make. One of the words in the Greek New Testament for preacher is kerusso, which means to herald, to proclaim. It was the idea of the old town crier ringing the bell, hear ye, hear ye. Well, the preacher has a Bible in his hand, and it's like a bell. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And he announces it. He proclaims it to people. He heralds it. Like a news reporter, he simply tells the facts as they are. He has a message to give. And the message is more important than the messenger. Oh, that more preachers would remember that. Listen to the message. It is from the Word of God. That's more important than the messenger himself. The message takes precedence. That requires authority. God gives that messenger, the preacher, the authority to preach it. And what is his authority? The Word of God. He's imbued with power by the Holy Spirit. It takes authority. Unlike many of the weak, spineless, so-called preachers today that share feelings. They say, well, it seems to me it's like this. And let's have a little fireside chat. That's not a preacher. A preacher is one that boldly states the Word of God upon the authority of the Word of God. And he says, this is what God says. And that's what we need. Sometimes we have to have our toes stepped on and our hearts crushed by the Word of God. One brother in Dallas said, I don't think I've been to church unless that preacher stepped on at least three of my toes and stung me in the heart. A preacher is a herald with authority. It's never outdated or old-fashioned. I wish some of our friends in the church growth movement would heed the Word of God on this. They say, well, preaching is out of date. People won't listen to preaching anymore. That may have been good once, but now in the electronic age of radio and television, email and all this, well, we need something else. We need entertainment and so forth. No, we need more back to the Bible preaching of the Word of God. It's never outdated. It's never old-fashioned. It's necessary and important. Personally, I like to hear good preaching. I like to hear it in person, on the radio, on videotape, and on audio tape. I like to hear it. If I had to make the choice between a beautiful steak or hearing the Word of God, I'd choose the Word of God. I like to hear good preaching. God-honoring preachers. Not sharing, not telling stories, or sharing opinions. Achilles heel of every preacher bringing his own opinions. May God guard me in this place from simply sharing feelings or opinions or good stories. My commission is to herald the Word of God. So the preacher is a herald. Also, the preacher is a teacher like Solomon. You look through the New Testament, you find the Bible often associates the preacher and the teacher. For example, Matthew 4:23, 9:35, 11:1, Acts 5:42, 14:21, and so forth. Preacher and teacher. A Bible teacher may not necessarily be a preacher, but a preacher has to be a teacher. He must explain what he proclaims in language that can be understood. He goes for the head and the heart. He has to be understood. He is an instructor. So the preacher has to be a wise teacher like Solomon. And specifically, he must teach the Word of God, like Ezra. It says, Ezra opened the book in the hearing of Israel, and he explained it and gave the sense. And he explained what it means. That's what a preacher has to do. Ephesians 4 says that God has gifted some men as pastor teachers. 1 Timothy 3:2, an elder must be able to teach. And that means primarily he has to have a textbook. Now, what is a textbook? You bring into the pulpit all sorts of parables and creeds. As useful as they may or may not be, no. His textbook is one. Actually, it's a library, 66 books. He is a teacher of the Word of God. So a true preacher is an expository preacher. If you come and hear me preach, that's what you're going to get. I won't do it with teaspoons. I'll give it to you by the shovel. So come prepared with hungry hearts and mouths. I am to open up the Word of God. My messages will basically be proclamation, explanation, and application of a portion of the Bible. How much theologian. Every preacher needs to be a theologian of sorts. A teacher has to be able to explain the Bible in depth and at length. That means messages of some length and depth. I like what John MacArthur said. He's one of my favorite preachers. He says, I don't give sermonettes for Christianettes. You get some short little message with about as much depth as a small thimble. That's the sort of Christians they're going to produce. Well, as a preacher, I have to give in-depth and at-length nutritious messages from the Word of God. If you don't want in-depth Bible teaching, stay away from me when I'm preaching. And when I'm teaching, God has commissioned me to teach the Word of God. I'm reminded of something that isn't in my notes, but something Arthur Pink said. He wrote many books, all of which I've read. He said, I've got only one lifetime to preach, and I've got so much to preach, even if I don't repeat a sermon, how can I possibly do that in one message? So the answer is, contain as much as you can in each message so that it's very concentrated. No sugar-coated messages, no cotton candy, a concentrated USDA teaching, the Word of God. But it's not just in the pulpit. Preachers can teach in various other respects. For example, Acts 20:20, Paul taught house to house. I will be teaching and preaching to you in your houses. When I come to visit with you, and it may be in an informal way, it may be to check your spiritual pulse, ask you some questions, but that's part of the way it's done. The Lord Jesus did it here and there. By the way, in Luke 2, the Lord Jesus did it by asking questions and answering questions. Ask me questions. I will ask you questions. We'll also include what I call theological table talk. Fairly soon, we will start meeting in my home from time to time to have a little theological table talk around the Word of God. So it's in the pulpit, and it's here, and there, also by writing. I think every preacher ought to do some serious writing. Ecclesiastes 12:2, Solomon did. He says, the preacher himself sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. I plan to do some serious writing for publication in the next few months and years. That'll be part of my gift and calling as a preacher and teacher. Now, what is your response to the preacher as a teacher? Weigh it with the Word of God. Weigh it, and if it's true, believe it. And if it's not, throw it out. It says in Acts 17:11, the Bereans received the Word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Paul says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Don't believe everything every preacher says. Test it by the Word of God. Number six, the preacher is also a student. To teach, he has to have been taught and continue to be taught. So the preacher is a student like Timothy, Paul's fine student. So if he is to teach, he must study long and hard. You know, preachers don't get things delivered by angels and souls. We don't get it when we ascend the Holy Stairs up here and say, ah, a thought just occurred to me. These preachers down here, they spend long, hard hours in their study on their knees with books before them, looking at the languages, studying church history and all that. Every Christian has the right to hear a well-prepared message from the Word of God. And that takes time and long, hard work. So allow your preacher plenty of time to prepare. Don't steal that time from him. Don't think, oh, he's just lazy sitting in there reading comic books. No, he's working for you. Like a good chef preparing food for you. So allow him that time. Let him study. Next, the preacher is also a doctor. A doctor of the soul, I guess you would say like Peter the Apostle. The preacher does not only state the truth and explain it to you like a proclaimer and a teacher. He must apply it to people. He must apply it in their hearts. Not just simply do this, don't do that. Yes, he will have a commanding application in his message. But a preacher must also go to the heart. He must apply it in your heart as an experimental preacher, touching your experience. And that includes touching the conscience and the heart with a view to where the sin problem is in your life and how that part of the Word of God applies to you and where you're going astray. This is what the word means admonishing. Colossians 1:28, Paul says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. And that is a true preacher. The preacher that acts like the doctor. He makes the diagnosis. Then he goes to his cabinet. He makes a prescription. When he stands up, he gives a prescription to the people in the congregation to their God commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them. Now that includes the positive and the negative. Positively, the preacher tells what the Word of God means, but there's a negative side where he tells you what it does not mean, and he warns about the heresies and the cults that are floating around there. So the preacher has to do both. Titus 1:9, when Paul is talking about the preacher elder, he says he has to be one that is holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teacher, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those that contradict. Two edges of the same sword of God, positive and negative. So he's a preacher like a doctor of the soul. Next, the preacher is an evangelist, like Philip the evangelist. Every Christian is to evangelize, and there are also those whose gift in full-time work is to evangelize full-time. But every preacher does some evangelism. Paul said to Timothy, the pastor-preacher, do the work of an evangelist. And that means to preach the gospel of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next to last, the preacher is a signpost. I couldn't think of one other than John the Baptist who said, behold the Lamb of God. But the example I would use is, it's an unusual creature in the Bible that is like, don't look at me, look at the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. The preacher in that sense is to be like the donkey that the Lord Jesus rode upon as he rode into Jerusalem. And the donkey would be very foolish to think they're all looking at me. A preacher in that sense is just a donkey. It is the Lord Jesus rides upon as he ministers to his people. No preacher should preach about himself, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, but Jesus as Lord. We preach Christ crucified. He says, I determined to know nothing among you but Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Shame to think of many preachers are really preaching about themselves. We'll all get back to them. It becomes very obvious when people thought of Paul. Don't ever applaud me. You want to say amen? Good. You want to say hallelujah? But don't ever applaud me. I'm liable to come down here and stop me. Say amen to Christ, the apostle preacher. Because he's not entertaining you, he's simply delivering the message. You say amen, give all the adoration to Christ. Not to these preachers, not to this preacher, not to this preacher. I believe in theology. I will teach in great depth. You'll hear me quoting some other great theologians that I love. Jonathan Edwards, John Calvin. I am a Calvinist. But I am not going to tell you about John Calvin or Jonathan Edwards. I come to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though I am a Calvinist thick and thin from the top of my head to the bottom of my soul, my commission is to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach Him, to present Him, so that as it were, I just hide in His shadow and you see. Lastly, the preacher is a shepherd like the Lord Jesus. You may not pastor a specific congregation. In my case, I've been called to be a pastor and a preacher in this place. But there's always something of the pastor's heart in every good preacher. So the preacher is also a shepherd. He feeds the sheep. That is part of my commission. God has ordained me as a preacher. By His grace, may I fulfill that commission properly. His preaching the Word. Lord Jesus, who is possibly capable of doing what you have come to do? Who is up to this task? Lord, you know that I am not of myself. I ask that you humble me in the time that I think that I am able to do this with my own strength or what I think is wisdom. Lord, humble me. Allow me to make mistakes so that I can see that I am nothing without you. Lord, you have commissioned me, commanded me to preach your gospel. Therefore, I rest assured in your promise that you will supply me the wisdom, the power, the authority, the opportunity to preach the unsearchable riches of God. Lord, we also pray for all those that are in this place and others to whom I will preach. We ask that you would give all of us open ears, eyes, hearts to hear that which is good, to weigh it with your word, having weighed it and found it to be biblical, grant that we may believe it and obey it.